All right. Thank you, folks. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 5. We're going to read a familiar story, incident that happened with the time the Lord Jesus was here on the earth. He had many such events, of course. A lot of things came together this weekend, had time change. How many of you remembered that? I should ask it different. How many of you did not remember that? Nobody will admit that, that's for sure. Anyway, I was working hard yesterday to try to gain that hour. I didn't gain it. I found I'd already used it up by the time I went to bed. But anyway, time change. I hope it didn't mess our buses up too much. This is the one that falls back. And generally, the good part about it is sometimes somebody will get here for Sunday school when they thought they were getting here for preaching. So I don't fuss about it when it falls back. It's when it move it the other way that it kills us. But anyway, we're glad you made it today. A lot of things coming together on the weekend. We had the time change. And then, of course, last night was Halloween. I have not ridden around the property to see if we got any damage. I hope not. We had some good men out there, Brother Donahue and others, watching out. I think they ought to really, it'd be a real good thing if 2 weeks before Halloween they would forbid anybody to buy any spray paint. That would help us a lot. They love to do those things, and while it's not a lot of harm done, it still aggravates. But anyway, Halloween. Now, I'm not speaking on my subject this morning just because it's Halloween, but it might fit in pretty good. Or Halloween yesterday, had a question, and I generally, I'm kind of in between teaching books, and so when I'm in between teaching books, I pick up on a vibe here or there, some question, and that's what motivates me then to pick up a subject and do one or two lessons on it in Sunday school. This morning, I'm going to speak to you on the subject of demons. It might come as news to you in the King James Bible, which is all we use around here. It does not mention the word demons, but devils. It's translated, Diabolus is translated devils in the King James Bible, rightfully so. See, that teaches you something. It teaches you who demons are. They're the devil's crowd. They're part of his host. They're part of his gang, so to speak. So the King James Bible calls them devils. And there's another little reason behind that. King James himself was very much against a religion that was fairly powerful. It still does exist. I've been by one of their buildings in Chicago, Illinois, several years back. So it's still in existence. It's a cult. It's a very false thing. But there was a religion, is one, that basically honors the demons, and they teach that every person has two demons, a good one and a bad one. I never thought there was a good demon, but anyway. And so it was a false thing. So in the translation of the King James Bible, the word Diabolus could have been translated demons and been just as honest a translation. But the king, and I think God was in it, didn't want to even throw him a bone by using the word demon when he knew they were devils. And so the King James Bible uses the word devils. Not that he was the translator, but he was the authority God used and raised up to allow the translators to have the freedom to give us the Bible. Amen? In the English, the greatest translation that's ever been used of God. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs. Notice where this fellow was staying now. Met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, chapter 5, if you're hunting it right here, here you're talking about it. Chapter 5 of Mark, verse 1 and 2. All right, get with me here now so we can go on. And a man with an unclean spirit coming out of the tombs. Now, you say, how does he come out of the tombs? Well, a lot of the tombs in those days were like little caves, and even the Lord Jesus Christ, the tomb that he was placed in was carved out of the hillside. And so I've been over there, and there's various ones like that. So if a fellow was if a fellow wanted to, he could go in one of those empty tombs and have a little shelter. I personally would not want to spend the night in those places, but some might. I think about the fellow that was taking a shortcut through the cemetery one night, and the grave diggers had left an open grave. It hadn't finished, but it was all deep and dug, and he slipped and fell in it. He couldn't get out. He tried. He decided, I'll have to wait in the morning and get some help, so he just sat down over in the corner. Sure enough, another guy came by and done the same thing, slipped into the tomb and began to jump and try to climb out and try to get out, and he couldn't get out, and the guy sitting in the corner over there watching him, finally he spoke and said, you can't get out of here. But the guy did. Now, that's the way I'd feel about it. Amen. I don't think I'm going to spend the night there. But that's where this fellow with the unclean spirit came from. Out of the tombs. Notice it's an unclean spirit. As we get deeper into it, and I'll probably not have time to cover it today, but much of the filth in the world, much of it that's recorded that our young people are paying attention to, it didn't even originate on this earth. It originated with the devil's crowd, the filth. They're unclean spirits that motivate that stuff. It says in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs? And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. They tried. This guy was strong. One of the things of demon possession, anybody that's ever dealt with it at all knows they have a supernatural strength when that demon's in control. It's an amazing thing. Had a little experience myself with it. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was beyond human help. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, there's another phenomena here, cutting himself with stones. There's a thing that goes around sometime with teenagers that get into so-called witchcraft, where they want to cut themselves. That's of the devil. And I've tried to help some parents with kids that would somehow or another find something, razor blade if possible, and cut themselves. I'm talking about pretty little girls and others. You wonder why would they do such a thing? And that business is of the devil. It really, really is. And here you have it in the Bible, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now that's a strange word fitting in there, isn't it? The devil worshiping Jesus. Well, you'll find out, and there's a lot of people really hooked on this. You better be careful. A lot of people today, you hear it in politics, you hear it everywhere. Well, he believes in God. Well, so what? So does the devil. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. Believing in God don't get you saved. In fact, the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, which means a man's a fool if he don't believe in God. But you need more than believing in God. You need salvation that comes through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you have this demon coming, taking a man's body, he's using this man's body and worshiping Jesus. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Wait a minute. He knows who Jesus is. Do you know there's a lot of folks know who Jesus is, but they don't trust him as Savior? Amen. A lot of folks. This devil could not trust him, but he knew who he was. Right. You won't find in the Bible where the devil denies Christ as the Son of God. Amen. You'll find when he was tempting Jesus on the mountain after his baptism and when he tried to get Jesus to turn the stones into bread, you'll find the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, but he knew who he was. He was trying to trip him up as the second Adam, and I won't get off into that except to say the devil has no doubt about who Jesus is. He knows. So does his emissaries. So does the demons, the little devils, we might want to call them. And he notice this. He says, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, that's an interesting thing. In another place, he'll say, are you come to torment us before the time? That's an interesting thing. The time. The devils know there is a time coming where their end is going to arrive. And they know they've got the torment ahead of them. I'm not saying many of them are not in torment today, but he knew Jesus had the power to do that, and he's begging him not to do it, and he's actually trying to use the word on him by saying, before the time. Don't do it early. We know how we go in. We know the time is coming, but it's not right now, so don't do it early to us, is what he's saying. In verse 8, Jesus is talking now. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. That's what he called him. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, I have personally, and I think maybe some of you will even remember when we showed the many, many years ago, long time ago, we showed the what I'll call a video, I guess it was a film at that time, where a preacher friend of mine and his youth leader confronted a demon-possessed girl in their office and knew she was coming, knew she was demon-possessed. The demons had already spoke to them over the phone. They knew they were in for a terrible time of it, had the whole church praying as they met with the girl in the office to try to cast the demons out of her. They were successful, and it was quite a thing to hear the voices of the demons talking out of a pretty, maybe 18-year-old, 19-year-old teenage girl. All of a sudden, a little girl with a sweet voice suddenly talking in the heavy, evil-sounding voice of more than one man. That'll get your attention. That really, really happened, and we showed the film here. One of the things that they said as they answered back to the preacher, when he'd ask them their name, they would say, we're Legion. Right out of the Bible. That means more than one. And there was more than one that he was able to finally get out of the girl, and apparently got them all. She went ahead and got saved and baptized, but we don't know how years later it came. The girl, I hate to say that without giving you a little more detail. She was raised by a witch and a warlock. She was taught that Satan was God. On Halloween, her own dad purposely impregnated her so the baby would be born in time to be offered as a sacrifice on Halloween night. So while Halloween is innocent to a great degree with our kids having fun and trick-or-treat and candy and all that stuff, if you go back to its roots, it's of the devil. It's the devil's side of stuff. That's why as a church, I don't do Halloween parties. I guess in the early years of before I was a pastor myself, I think our church had some fun with it, and that's okay. But there's a danger zone there when we let our kids think it's acceptable, and it can sometimes be the crack in the door that opens them into deeper satanic stuff. And so Ouija boards, Halloween, telling your fortune, playing with the cards, all that stuff's of the devil in its beginning. So while it may be a lot of innocent stuff practiced, it's a danger zone that you ought to be watching out for. And that particular girl, she literally was raised by parents like that. She was impregnated. The baby was born out in the woods celebrating their ceremonies that they do with the big fire in the woods and the witch's circle and all that business. Her own testimony was that they sacrificed the baby and everybody had to taste some of it. And the preacher asked her, did you taste or did you eat any of your own baby? And she said, yes, I had a taste of it. Folks, I'm not making a fairy tale. That was proof positive what I just told you. And so when I jump on this thing, I'm not just beating a straw horse. There's some reality that's bad to it. Amen. So this demon answered here, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And the demon talking back says, "We don't want to leave." Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave or permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled. I expect it scared them to death. And if they were Jews, they weren't supposed to be feeding the swine to start with. Anyway, probably they were not. But anyway, they fed the swine. They fled in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. All the crowd from the city comes out to look. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, the one now that was breaking the chains, the one no man could bind, and had the legion of demons. They see him sitting, it says in verse 15, sitting quiet, calm, and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. I've often made application here. It says he was clothed and in his right mind. Does that mean if you're unclothed, you're not in your right mind? Just asking. Huh? Well, something to think about. If you present yourself in public indecent and showing too much of what you shouldn't, maybe you're not in your right mind. All right, that didn't cost you nothing. It's just all right. Anyhow, we see a truth right here. And the thing is, what did this crowd do? Did they come and worship Jesus because he got the demons out of the bad man? No. What'd they do? They asked Jesus to leave. He had upset the status quo. He had cost some swine their lives. By the way, those swine went over the cliff and killed themselves. When I was a kid on the farm, I know when we try to run the hogs, we'd say, "Suey." Anybody use that up north? That was a good southern Georgia thing. "Suey, pig." Remember that? I guess that comes from these swine committing suicide. Amen. All right, I'm joking with you. That's first Mickey, second verse there. All right. Anyway, though, they didn't like it when Jesus upset the apple cart, and they still don't like it today. You know what the big fuss against Christianity today is? The world wants to do their thing, and Christianity costs them money sometimes. I guess it's over in Lakeland now. I read in the paper yesterday where they're going to get rid of the laws where they can sell alcohol on Sunday freely, and I think it's already happened here and other places. In other words, when you don't understand something, I often say George Washington is behind it, and Abe Lincoln, and Alexander Hamilton, and how many of you know what I'm talking about? Do you ever look at that green stuff anymore, or do you just have a plastic card that you flash? That's their pictures I'm talking about, money. When you don't understand something, money is behind it. Right. And the sad truth is, Christianity costs the world some money every now and then when we cramp their style a little bit, or we resist something like dope sales and alcohol sales and nudity bars and all that kind of business. Well, I've even had one or two when I was fighting that stuff say, "You're messing with business now. You ought to let our business alone." All right. It's just the same thing. Right. Jesus cost them some money here. Right. He was cramping their style. That's what it boiled down to. Right. Now, got a lot of truths right here in the story that we read, but let me just, if you got something to jot down, I'll give you a few scripture references along, and we'll read one or two, but of course, too many to do in one or two lessons. But talking about demons, they are emissaries of Satan. He uses them in his projects and undertakings, and they will finally participate with him and wind up with him in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, if you were to look in Matthew 25, you got a verse you ought to have marked. Matthew 25, first book, New Testament, chapter 25, look at verse 41. Now, in the context of verse 41, you got a crowd that's been, the Lord predicts is going to stand before him. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, you know, we done this and we done that. And he's going to say to them, and you read it in another place, he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. This is verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand. By the way, politically, I wouldn't be on the left hand. And unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? For the devil and his angels. Now, I will say this, there is a difference. I believe the scripture, while it is a little mysterious concerning what it teaches on demons, you need to know this, there is a difference between demons and fallen angels. Satan has a group of fallen angels that also serve with him. He also has a host, and I believe even a greater host, of demons. And there is some mystery as to where demons originate from. And I'm using the word demons because it's common in the language, but we know they're devils because the King James Bible says they are. And so we know there is a difference. There was a group of angels that we read about in Genesis chapter 6, in the little book of Jude, and also in 2 Peter chapter 2. There's a group of angels that we often refer to as fallen angels. Bible says they left their first estate. They left their domain, their dominion. They left where they were supposed to be and crossed in to the human race. You find that in Genesis chapter 6. You find how the world went so evil in the days of Noah, God had to flood it out. It says that the imagination of their hearts were only evil from their youth up. Now think about it. Today our imaginations are electronic. There was a time when I was a kid, I went home at night, and if parents made me go to bed early, I turned on my TV. It was not the TV in the room. We didn't have one. Half the time the radio didn't play, and nobody had ever heard of a cell phone or an internet, but I turned on my TV. My TV was in my head. It was imagination. Do you understand what daydreaming means? Now, you don't have to be asleep physically to daydream. Do you understand that? So I could lay in the bed and shut my eyes and get my mind to working, and you'd be surprised the things I could see and the things I could do as a kid. I found out later, though, when I woke and went in the real world and tried to do them, they were a lot harder than they were to imagine. I built a menu boat that I never put in the lake as I lay on my bed and watch my TV at night, things like that. But I'm talking about in the days of Noah, the imagination. Now the imagination is in your hand. If you know how to push the buttons, you can get it everywhere. Kids don't do much thinking today. Somebody else is doing it on the online for them. They're doing it out of the air for them. And the devil is the prince and power of the air, the Bible says. You better watch out for that things. Most fellows that work with electricity, and especially PAs and churches, like mine, know that the devil gets into the airwaves sometimes and messes things up. I can tell you stories about that. But I'm just saying, Noah's day, the fallen angels came in. They left their first estate. They cohabited with the daughters of men. That's Genesis 6. And God had enough of it. He's about to have enough again, because things are close to very much the same now as they were in Noah's day, except we got more gadgets for the devil to use, got more technology for him to get into, and that's the truth of our age right now. But anyway, by the way, when it says Noah was perfect, it does not say he was perfect in the sense of without sin. If you read it close in Genesis, he said he was perfect in his generations. His generation, his genes, that's what the word generation comes from. We hear about a lot about genes. That guy's got good genes. Mom and dad and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, good genes. Well, the genes got, the gene pool, or the genome as they call it, pool, got polluted by the fallen angels in Genesis chapter 6 and brought the judgment of God upon the human race in the flood. And that sort of stuff will repeat itself because Jesus said it was going to be like it was in the days of Noah. And we're seeing all kind of stuff today. Don't want to get off in that, except talking here about the devils, the demons, and how they're Satan's adversaries, how they're going to go to the lake of fire with him. Matthew 25:41 I just read, Revelation 20:10 going to the lake of fire with him. They're going to wind up as he does. And these demons that was in the maniac of Gadara that was living in the tombs, they basically told Jesus, don't torment us before our time. We know we're coming. We're judgment's waiting on us, but you don't jump ahead. And it's really noticeable that they prefer to live in swine than to have no body at all, no flesh and bones body on earth at all. That's something you need to get a hold of, because that's why so much of the horror stuff is going on. Some of the shootings. I've read horror things that you just think a human being could not do, about a mother putting a baby in the oven and burning it and cooking and killing it because she heard voices. Horrible things. Here the other day, found a little baby girl in the freezer hearing voices. You say, oh, they're crazy. No, they're hearing voices. They're hearing devil's voices, and they're obeying them. And so also all this hideous stuff that you see, there is something going on behind it. And I say this because my time's about gone. I can't get much further here. The origin of the demons is a mystery, and I've got some ideas I won't share with you, and some others have, and maybe so. Some say they're often called disembodied spirits. And so all kind of stuff. I will say this about it. I mentioned the film again that we saw, the girl that had to eat some of her own baby on Halloween night. When those demons spoke out of that girl, they had men's voices, but each man's voice was different from the other one. One of them had an English accent like you just wouldn't believe. Some of them had other sounds that you would recognize. And if you want to know where the street language came from, that's recorded on a lot of these hip-hop and rap records, it came from hell. That's where it came from. It came from the demons. That's right. The very stuff they were talking out of that girl, I have heard cars go right by the pavement out there with the windows down playing the same stuff. The same words, four-letter words, dirt. They're unclean spirits. That's what the Bible says. And the fact is, apparently each demon had its own personality, a different sound, a different accent, but the same unclean filth coming from all of them. And I see some of you a little skeptical, but, and I hope it don't happen to you to get firsthand proof, but to the truth is, it's real. The devil is real. Amen. And his emissaries, his fallen angels, his little devils or demons, they're real too. And the world's in a struggle with them today, whether we know it or not. My time is up. We'll let the choir get ready to go back there and come out. I hope you're visiting.